بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد. Tonight or this evening, for this session, we have a guest from Jordan. His name is Sheikh Salim Al Hilali. Well, Sheikh Salim originally is from Palestine, in the city of Bir El Sabia, in Hebron County in Palestine, although currently he is living in Jordan. Sheikh Salim is one of the many students of the great scholar of Hadith, the Sheikh Muhammad Nasruddin Albani. The Sheikh Salim has the good fortune of having studied under the great scholar of Hadith, Sheikh Muhammad Nasruddin Albani, for 20 years. He started his studies with Sheikh Albani at the age of 17, and now he, after 20 years, is 37 years old. The Sheikh Salim has been given the approval by the scholar Muhammad Nasruddin Albani as being qualified to teach in the field of the sciences of Hadith and also in the science of the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sheikh Salim is presently teaching in one of the high schools in Jordan. Sheikh Salim also has many dawah activities and lectures around the world. This is around his third or fourth time coming to America that I know of. Sheikh Salim is also a very busy writer. Sheikh Salim has around 80 or 80 some odd books that have been published. He has around 80 some odd books that he has written that have been published on various different subjects. He also has a numerous amount of books that he has written that have yet to be published that are waiting to be published, but he couldn't recall exactly how many. That's how many it was. Sheikh Salim, and he brings a very keen understanding of the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with us. So, brothers, we should be paying very close attention, because it is actually a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have scholars of this caliber in this land of darkness. Sheikh Salim, inshallah, will talk briefly on the subject of the fruits of Tarbiyah. The fruits of Tarbiyah. So with that introduction, inshallah, Sheikh Salim will begin. Jazakallah khair.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد. فإخوتي في الله، إن موضوع التربية موضوع هام جدا للمسلمين، والتربية تعني أن يصل الإنسان إلى الكمال المهيئ له شيئا فشيئا، والمربي على الحقيقة هو الله سبحانه وتعالى، لأنه خالق الخلق كما أخبر سبحانه وتعالى عن نفسه في سورة الناس: قل أعوذ برب الناس، ملك الناس، إله الناس، من شر الوسواس الخناس، الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس.
بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، وبعد. الشيخ is saying that the matter of what we're calling tarbiyah, which is learning and developing, being receiving nourishment, really what it means is for a person to develop step by step until that person achieves the level of completion or a level of total maturity. And this means that the person is taught matters of deen, related to deen, and all other issues, and raise upon that step by step until they reach completion. And in this regard, the real one who nourishes, or the real one who raises, because murabbi means someone who raises someone who teaches someone who raises someone. The real one who raises someone is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this regard, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nas, say, I seek refuge in the Lord of mankind, the only one who has the right to be worshipped of mankind, and the owner of mankind. And from the whisper when he whispers. No. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us that in fact he is the by him saying that he is the Lord of mankind, this means that he is the one who raises them and nourishes them and uplifts them and teaches them slowly by slowly. No. Because it's a Rabb al-Nas.
والتربية يجب أن تكون على منهج الله وعلى سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ولذلك سميت التربية في الإسلام التربية الربانية، لأنها تقوم على منهج الرب تبارك وتعالى. وسنبين أهم ضوابطها وأهم أسسها التي تقوم عليه التربية الإسلامية الربانية.
This tarbiyah, this raising, must be based upon kitab, the book of Allah tabaraka ta'ala, and the sunnah of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When this is done, this tarbiyah is referred to as tarbiyah rabbani, and the Lord, tarbiyah or learning or raising or teaching of individual, that is done in accordance with how Allah tabaraka ta'ala wanted that to be done. So when it's done in accordance with kitab and sunnah, when people are taught and raised step by step upon kitab and sunnah, this is called tarbiyah rabbaniyah. And this tarbiyah, he will explain his most important elements. His most important elements.
أهم الضوابط أو القواعد التي تقوم عليها التربية في الإسلام أنها تقدس الله، تقدس الرب في غايتها وهدفها. يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى: ولكن كونوا ربانيين بما كنتم تعلمون الكتاب وبما كنتم تدرسون.
And the most important aspect regarding tarbiyah and most important principle is that that this tarbiyah, that it honors Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in all of his goals and his principles. And this is based upon the statement of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that you find written on your booklet, that be you scholars upon this way, upon raising people in this way, from what you have studied, from what your Lord has taught. The meaning of the theme of the conference, this is the ayah that proves the fact that in fact the goal and the principle behind raising and teaching people must be to glorify Allah tabaraka ta'ala, and that must be the objective.
القاعدة الثانية أن التربية في الإسلام ليس لها وسائل خاصة بها، وإنما هي مجموع شعائر الدين. ونقصد بهذا تفريق التربية الإيمانية على منهج السلف عن التربية الصوفية التي تقول أن لتزكية النفس وتربية النفس وسائل تخصها غير الصلاة وغير الزكاة وغير الحج، مثل الرقص والخلوة وغيرها من الأمور المبتدعة.
The most important aspect of the second principle that we must understand about this tarbiyah is that this tarbiyah must be understood that it's no particular means, no set specific means of doing it that's outside of Islam. What that means is that Islam in all its principles, that is the tarbiyah. And he wants to let us understand this, because in this way we will understand that this tarbiyah means acting upon all of this Islam and learning all of this Islam, and in that way we differ from the groups that are astray, like the Sufis, who saying that the raising of people and the purification of people and the teaching of people is not connected to Hajj and Zakat and Salat, but that you have to have specific manners of doing it, like dancing or going into seclusion and these things. So he wants us to make very clear in our minds that the tarbiyah is connected to the deen, the principles of the deen, acting upon all the principles of the deen. This is the tarbiyah. So someone who says it's not connected to Salat, that's not part of tarbiyah, or it's not connected to a Hajj or these type of things or issues of Ibadah, but it's connected to dancing or going to seclusion like the Sufis, or that is separate from this, they're not going astray.
فمن قرأ كتاب الله وقرأ سنة رسول الله وفهم على نهج السلف يعرف أن كل شعائر الدين من الإيمان والتوحيد والصلاة والزكاة والحج وغيرها كلها تطهر النفس وتزكيها وتربيها وتجعلها مستقيمة على أمر الله.
And this is such because and this is such because anyone who reads the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can see and can recognize that all the matters of this deen, tawheed, salat, all the matters of this deen are matters that purify the soul, matters that cleanse it. And this is known.
فيقول سبحانه وتعالى إنما المشركون نجس. فهذه الآية تدل على أن المشركين نجس. وما معنى نجاسة المشركين؟ هل هي نجاسة أجسامهم، نجاسة ثيابهم؟ ليس المقصود هذا، وإن كانوا هم كذلك، ولكنها تعني نجاسة أرواحهم، نجاسة أرواحهم وخبث نفوسهم، لأنهم لم يتطهروا في التوحيد والإيمان.
And in this regard, Allah Ta'ala says, verily, verily, those, the mushrikeen, those who set up partners with Allah, ascribe partners to Allah, verily, they are unclean, they are filthy, they are dirty. So what is meant by this? Is it meant that they're unclean in their physical clothing, or they're unclean hygienically, or they're unclean in this manner or that manner? He said, no, they're unclean in their actual souls. They're unclean in their actual souls. Because their rejection of Tawheed and their ascribing partners to Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala has dirtied their very souls.
ولذلك فإن المؤمن لا ينجس كما قال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم المؤمن لا ينجس فهو طاهر النفس طاهر الروح لأنه يسير على منهج الله سبحانه وتعالى.
And the opposite is, because of this, the opposite is true. The believer is never unclean. He is never unclean. His soul is clean. And this is because he or she is upon the path of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala, the path of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala, Kitab and Sunnah.
وهذا ويصف الله سبحانه وتعالى المؤمن والكافر. يصف المؤمن بأنه قد شرح بالإيمان صدره، ويصف الكافر بأنه ضيق الصدر. يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في سورة الأنعام فمن يرد الله أن يهديه يشرح صدره للإسلام، ومن يرد أن يضله يجعل صدره ضيقا حرجا كأنما يصعد في السماء، كذلك يجعل الله الرجس على الذين لا يؤمنون.
And because of this, Allah Ta'ala says that the believer, he opens the chest, the heart of the believer. He opens his chest, his heart. And for the disbeliever, their chest, their heart is narrowed. It's narrowed. And this is based upon the ayat in Surah Al-An'am, which Allah Ta'ala states that those who Allah Ta'ala wills that they be guided to Islam, they are those who have opened their hearts to Islam. And those who reject it, or the disbelievers, he who Allah Ta'ala wills to guide, he will open his chest to Islam. And he who he wills to mislead him, we make his heart narrow and difficult as if he's ascending into the sky. As if he's ascending into the sky. This is how Allah places filth or riches upon those who do not believe.
التي تنبني عليها التربية الربانية التربية الإيمانية موافقة التربية للفطرة البشرية لفطرة الإنسان.
The third principle is that this تربية ربانية is the third principle that it has to be in agreement with the fitra of the person. The fitra that Allah Ta'ala has placed people upon, it has to be in agreement with that.
يقول الله تعالى فأقم وجهك للدين حنيفا فطرة الله التي فطر الناس عليها لا تبديل لخلق الله ذلك الدين القيم.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and turn your face to that, the way of the Hunafa. This is the fitra of Allah ta'ala that He has placed the creation upon, and you will not find for the fitra of Allah any changing.
ويقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم محمد كل مولود يولد على الفطرة.
And the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم says in a hadith that every one who is born, every child that is brought into this world is born upon the fitra.
وقد أقسم الله سبحانه وتعالى على أن النفس البشرية مستعدة للتربية فقال والشمس وضحاها إلى قوله سبحانه وتعالى ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sworn that the souls are willing to accept this purification. And this is in Surah Al-Shams, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by many matters of the creation. And at the end of it, he says, the one who has created the people and has inspired them in each soul that which is good for it. Those who purify themselves will be successful, and those who do not do so or impure, makes them fall into impurities will be destroyed.
والتربية عندما تحافظ على الفطرة ترعى الفطرة وتحافظ عليها وترعاها من التحريف ومن التغيير ومن التبدير.
And this raising, when it's done properly, when it's implemented properly, it guards the fitra, it protects the fitra. It protects our fitra from it being anything that it, from any inhiraf, any distortion, any changes. It protects, it keeps us upon this fitra. If this tarbiya, if this raising is done properly.
ولذلك أمر الرسول بخصال الفطرة والتي منها إعفاء اللحية وحف الشارب ونسف الإبط وحلق العانة إلى غير ذلك.
And because of this, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم ordered for us to practice this fitra, amongst it being the growing of the beard, the clipping of the nails, the shaving the bali hair, and others than that. And in these matters, the Prophet ﷺ told us to concentrate upon these issues. I mean, to stay upon these matters.
ونهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وحرم تغيير الفطرة، كقوله عندما نهى عن وصل الشعر وعن النمص الشعر وعن تفلج الأسنان، فقال والمتفلجات لحسن المغيرات لخلق الله فلعنهن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم، قال لعن الله الواصلة والمستوصلة والواشمة والموسومة والمتفلجات لحسن المغيرات لخلق الله.
And because of this, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم cursed those who changed the fitrah, like those who the women who shaped their eyebrows and parted their teeth and removed bodily hair for beautification. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has cursed them in authentic ahadith.
ولأن تغيير الفطرة يريده الشيطان وتغيير خلق الله، يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى مخبرا عن الشيطان ولآمرنهم فليغيرن خلق الله.
And this is because the one who loves that the fitra be changed is shaytan. The one who loves that the fitra to be changed is shaytan. Because Allah Ta'ala says,
فلآمرنهم
I will order them, shaytan swears, I will order them
فليغيرن خلق الله
to change the creation of Allah.
القاعدة الرابعة أن التربية الإسلامية تقدم تصورات واضحة عن الإنسان والكون والحياة.
The fourth principle is that this تربية ربانية, that it has a clear view of everything and its proper place. Clear view of the universe and its place. Clear view of the men in the world and the women in the world and what they are supposed to do and their role. Clear, everything is clear. Its concepts are very, very clear.
وهذا التصورات تقوم على ركنين. الأول أنها تعرض هذه التصورات عرضا مقنعا. والأساس الثاني أنها تربط التصورات بحركة الإنسان ليقوم الإنسان بعمل نافع ليحقق خلافته في الأرض.
مرة ثانية.
وتقوم هذه التصورات على ركنين. الركن الأول عرض هذه التصورات عرضا مقنعا.
These concepts are based upon two principles. That these concepts are presented in a manner in which the presentation is very strong and very sure.
أيضا تربط التصورات بفعل الإنسان بعمل الإنسان ليقوم الإنسان بدوره الذي هيأه الله له في الأرض.
And that these ركن ثاني ماذا؟
هنا إنها تربط هذه التصورات بفعل الإنسان بحركة الإنسان ليحقق الإنسان خلافته في الأرض.
The second principle of this is that it connects the person, the individual. It connects the individual to his goal. If this tarbiyah is done correct, that it will connect the individual to his goals, that it will make it such that he will fulfill his role of being the one to succeed on this earth. Is that clear, Yani? That it's connected directly, this learning, this tarbiyah, is connected directly to the individual's fulfilling his role upon this earth.
فنأخذ مثال على الإنسان. الإنسان في التربية الإيمانية الربانية أولا تبين أصل خلقته أنه مخلوق من الطين، ولكن الله نفخ فيه الروح، فالإنسان فيه ميل إلى الطين وميل أيضا وسمو إلى الروح.
We give an example of this. And to make this clear, that is that first of all, man is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a purpose. And he's created from clay. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a ruh, but he's also created from clay. And this means that he's
maqsood annahu فيه يميل إلى الشهوة ويميل إلى التعفف والتربية.
يعني that since he's created from both of these matters, the fact that Allah gave him a ruh, and the fact also that he gave them that he created them from dirt or dust or clay, he has a side of him that leads towards desires, because it's low, like the clay and the dirt. And it's a side to him that leads to that which is right and that which is good, which is the ruh that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created in him. And that he is a creation that Allah Ta'ala has honored.
وأن الله خلقه لخلافة الأرض وعمارتها وبنائها.
That Allah Ta'ala created him to succeed in this world and to run his affairs of it.
وزوده الله سبحانه وتعالى بوسائل للتعلم والتربية وعلمه سبحانه وتعالى. فقال سبحانه وتعالى اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم.
And Allah Ta'ala brought about or gave him all of the means or the instruments to accept this tarbiyah, this raising that Allah Ta'ala wants from us. And in this regard, he recited the verses you heard from Surah Al-Alaq, which is, read in the name of your Lord who created you from a clot of blood, and it says, read by the name of your Lord who taught man that which he did not know. So Allah Ta'ala gave man all the instruments to accept this tarbiyah, accept this his teaching, subhanahu wa ta'ala.
ولأجل هذا كله جعله مسؤولا عن أفعاله التي سيحاسبه عليها يوم القيامة.
Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done all of this, all the things that we've just mentioned, He made the individual accountable for his actions, and that the individual will have to stand account on the Day of Judgment for their actions, because Allah has given him all the means and all the instruments that are necessary for him to fulfill that which he must fulfill upon this earth and the purpose for which Allah has created him. So he has no excuse in this regard.
وهذه الحقائق عن الإنسان ربطها الله بفعل الإنسان الذي خلقه من أجله فقال وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون.
And this reality that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them for, and this purpose for which he created them for, is clearly indicated in the verse, "Verily I did not create jinn and men except for my worship."
أما عن الكون فالله سبحانه وتعالى يخبر أن الكون مخلوق لغاية وهدف لم يخلقه عبثا.
Now that first part, the first principle that we just took, was to show you how clear the concept of a man is in the world. This is how we conceive it. Those who are on the correct tarbiyah conceive man as we've just spoken about it. Then when we come to their conception of the universe, and it is that Allah Ta'ala said for what purpose the universe was created when he said the ayah.
وما خلقنا السماوات والأرض وما بينهما لاعبين.
And we did not create the heavens and earth and all that is between them plain or just for nothing.
ما خلقناهما إلا بالحق.
We did not create them except for a haq.
ولكن أكثرهم لا يعلمون.
But most people do not know.
ويقول أيضا وما خلقنا السماوات والأرض وما بينهما إلا بالحق.
And he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, and we did not create the heavens and earth except for reality, except for a haq.
ولذلك يقول المؤمنون سبحانك ما خلقت هذا باطلا فقنا عذاب النار.
And because of this, believers say, Subhanak, glory be to you, Allah. You did not create all this in falsehood. Protect us from the hellfire. Save us from the hellfire.
أيضا الكون خاضع لقوانين وسنن الله فيه.
Also this universe is submissive to the rules that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set for it.
وهذه القوانين والسنن التي هي يدبرها هو الله.
And these principles and this universe and all that exists, the one who runs all of this is Allah.
يقول سبحانه وتعالى ويمسك السماء أن تقع على الأرض إلا بإذنه.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and He is the one who holds the earth, or holds the sky rather, from falling except by His permission.
No. أيضا وهذا الكون كله خاضع لله.
Also, all this universe, all of it, is submissive to Allah. Everything in existence is submissive to Allah.
يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى تسبح له السماوات السبع والأرض.
In this manner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in everything in existence, the heavens and the earth, glorify Allah.
ومن فيهن.
And all that is between the heavens and the earth.
وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ.
And there's nothing in existence except glorifies Allah and praises Allah.
وَلَكِن لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ.
But you, mankind, cannot understand their glorification.
إِنَّهُ كَانَ حَلِيمًا غَفُورًا.
Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all forbearing, all forgiving.
أَمَّا تَصَوَّرْ الإسلام عن الحياة فالحياة دار ابتلاء واختبار وامتحان.
The third matter is how Islam views life is that life is the time or the period of test and examination and Allah Ta'ala testing the creation.
يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى الذي خلق الموت والحياة.
Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says the one who created life or created death and life.
ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا.
To test you, which of you are best in deeds.
أيضا الدار الدنيا متاعها مؤقت.
Also the benefits and enjoyments of this world are limited for a special limited time.
يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى أرضيتم بالحياة الدنيا من الآخرة.
In this regard, Allah says, are you pleased with the life of this dunya over the hereafter?
فما متاع الحياة الدنيا في الآخرة إلا قليل.
Verily, the enjoyment of this life of this dunya is nothing compared to the enjoyment of hereafter, except something very, very small.
أيضا الدار تعب وعمل وجد واجتهاد.
Also, this place that we're at, this life that we're living, is in this world that we're living in, it's a place of struggle and of striving and of trying to achieve what Allah orders us to do.
ولذلك يجب على الإنسان عدم الاغترار بها.
And because of this, it is upon a person not to be deluded by this world.
ولا يغفل عن غايته التي خلق من أجلها.
And not to become unaware of the goal for which he was created or brought into existence.
ومع ذلك عليه ألا يحرم شيئا على نفسه من خيراتها بل يستخدم ذلك في طاعة الله.
And with this also, though it does not mean that he or she prevents themselves from enjoying that which Allah Ta'ala has made good in this world, but rather use that good to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وعليه أيضا أن يصبر على بلوائها لأنها دار بلاء وابتلاء.
And upon the person also is to be patient upon his trials and tribulations, because that what this life is, it is the place of trials and tribulations.
هذه الضوابط والقواعد أهم شيء يقوم عليه التربية الإيمانية ليكون العبد عبدا حقا لله.
These principles that we have mentioned are the most important principles that the tarbiyah, the raising that is based upon iman, must be based upon, so that the servant in fact is in fact a servant of Allah.
أما الضوابط التي تحمي هذه القواعد فنذكر منها أولا توحيد مصدر التلقي أي لا يأخذ الإنسان إلا عن كتاب الله وعن سنة رسوله.
Now these are the principles. The matters that keep these principles or carry these principles, we will mention these. The first one is that you must have one, the person who's trying to
raise him or herself upon the tarbiyah of iman and that which carries these principles, is that it must be one source that we receive our deen from. And that is the book of Allah Ta'ala and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
يقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم تركت فيكم أمرين لن تضلوا ما إن تمسكتم بهما كتاب الله وسنتي.
And in this regard, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم stated, I have left with you things that if you stick to, you will never go astray. The book of Allah تبارك وتعالى, which is the Quran, and my sunnah.
والضابط الثاني أن ننقي ونصفي الكتاب والسنة من الأخطاء التي لحقت بهما وبتفسيرهما.
The second principle that, or the second matter that carries this tarbiyah, is that we purify this deen, those and that source that we talk about, the kitab and the sunnah, our source, from everything that is not from it, from everything that has been connected to it that is not from it. From the wrong interpretations of verses of Quran, from unauthentic hadith that have been attributed to the sunnah, that we purify it from all of this, that we cleanse it from all of this. This is the second thing.
مثل البدع والأحاديث الضعيفة والموضوعة وغيرها.
Like the innovations and the weak enforced ahadith.
الضابط الثالث أن يكون التلقي من الكتاب والسنة للعمل والتنفيذ والتطبيق. أن يكون العمل الكتاب والسنة للتلقي للتنفيذ والتطبيق ليس للثقافة والمعرفة فقط.
The third principle that carries this is that this the sources that we take from kitab and sunnah are not just concepts and theories, but that the purpose of it is to act upon it, to put it into practice.
يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا لما تقولون ما لا تفعلون.
In this regard, he mentions the verse of Allah سبحانه وتعالى, which says, O you who believe, why do you say that which you do not do?
كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون.
It is something verily and greatly hated by Allah that you say that which you do not do.
الضابط الرابع أن يقوم بالتربية العلماء الذين يفقهون الكتاب والسنة.
The fourth matter is that this, the ones who do this tarbiyah, everyone doesn't raise individuals, but that the ones who actually apply this are the scholars. The scholars are the ones who raise the people, teach the people.
الضابط الخامس التدرج في التربية فيعلم الإنسان ما يطيق وما يستوعب ثم إذا أتقن شيئا انتقل به إلى غيره.
Fifth principle is that it's done in stages, this teaching, that the person starts at step one, achieves it, practices it, applies it, and then moves on to step two and onward.
لأن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما فسر قول الله سبحانه وتعالى ولكن كونوا ربانيين, قال الرباني هو الذي يعلم الناس على صغار العلم قبل كباره.
And in this regard, Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما described the ayah, which is the theme of this conference, but be you ربانيين, as saying that the ربانى, the scholar who's ربانى, is the one who teaches people the small matters before taking them on to major issues.
الضابط الخامس أن نربط الناس أن نربط المربى بالله وبالرسول لا بالأشخاص والجماعات والشعارات والأوطان وغير ذلك مما يتعارف عليه الناس.
And the fifth matter is that the one who is being raised that he is connected, or the teacher, the scholar, makes sure that he's connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That whole purpose behind it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not to groups or people
or lands or countries or customs or individuals that people are used to. But that the whole purpose of it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
ولذلك ذم الله اليهود والنصارى عندما اتخذوا أحبارهم وارتبطوا بهم فأحلوا لهم الحرام وحرموا عليهم الحلال.
And because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala criticized and condemned the Jews when they followed their monks and rabbis in legislating that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had not legislated, and making halal that which Allah made haram, or making haram that which Allah made halal.
يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, verily they took their monks and their rabbis as lords besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also they took Isa ibn Maryam as a lord.
طيب في وقت
في وقت
في وقت ربع ساعة. الضابط الخامس الأخير أن يقوم العالم الرباني الذي يربي الناس بتعهد المربين بتعهد الناس فلا يتركهم فلا يدعوهم للإسلام ويتركهم يعيشون ضائعين.
And the fifth and final matter is that this Rabbani, this scholar who teaches the people, he does not teach the people and then just leave them, but that he constantly is concerned and connected to the people. He doesn't call the people to Islam and then just leave them.
ولذلك ينبغي علينا أن نتعاون فيما بيننا وأن نبني مدارس لأبنائنا وأن نتجمع في قرى مع بعضنا لنقوم كلنا بواجب التربية ونحافظ على أبنائنا ونحافظ على زوجاتنا ونحافظ على أنفسنا وسط هذا المجتمع الكافر الذي لا يعرف معروفا ولا ينكر منكرا.
And because of this, it is for all of us, and listen to this point, it's very important, as all of the jokes was, I know some people are looking tired. The point is that it's upon us to therefore build schools, gather in cities, move to cities where they have schools, and work one another for the purpose of raising our children and raising ourselves and our families upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially, he said, in this Kafir country in which the people do not know what is right, what is a ma'aruf or good, or what is munkar, which is bad. So we have to do this, he said. In other words, what he's telling us is something we have to do. Build schools, and if we don't have built schools, we have to move where they have schools at. Because all of this is just talk if we don't do anything about it. All of it is just theories and concepts that we've heard, and then we leave here with nothing. So he said, we have to help our family in this regard and protect our children, otherwise we'll lose them. Now he said he wants questions and answers. If there's anyone woke who wants to ask a question or answer.
Going to a different city to in order to raise their children and everything, is that mandatory if you live in a community where there isn't adequate schools, or if you can homeschool, is that also an option? Or
هذا يجب علينا كمجتمع كجالية مسلمة نعيش في هذه البلاد وسط كفار كثيرون لهم عاداتهم لهم عباداتهم لهم مدارسهم لهم ثقافتهم لهم أفكارهم حتى لا نتسمم أبناؤنا بأفكارهم أن نحافظ عليهم.
He said this is obligatory upon us. He said that we do this in a country, especially those of us who are living in this country. He's making this particular. That we do this because we are in the middle of a Kafir country that has its teachings, its beliefs, its culture, its institutions. So if we want to guide our children and save our children, preserve our children, we have to do this. We have to move in areas where we can support one another and in areas where, in fact, they can go to Muslim schools
and in this matter. He said this is obligatory.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على نبيه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد inshallah this we have to wrap it up but I just wanted a last final word of advice from the Sheikh to us JazakAllah khair for the Mashaikh for coming I think all of us have benefited from this conference I wanted the Sheikh to stress maybe before he leaves the importance of, on a continuing basis, studying the Deen of Allah. That we can't do this just only at a convention once or twice a year. That we should have a regular time set aside for our own studies individually and collectively in our communities. If he'd stress that point,
please. ومهمتها ونحن لا يعني نستقيم يعني أو نتحاول يعني مؤتمرات فقط ولكن يجب تعليم في بيوتنا ودروس بيوتنا وهذه أشياء
ينبغي أن تعلم يا أحبائي أن هذه المؤتمرات وأن كان فيها النفع الكثير والخير العميم إنما يجب أن تتابعوا طلب العلم لأنه فريضة عليكم ولأنكم لا تستطيعون أن تعرفوا دينكم إلا بالعلم ولأن في التعلم والتفقه خير عظيم يقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم من يرد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين ويقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم فينبغي كما نصلي أن نتعلم وكما نزكي أن نتعلم وكما نقول لا إله إلا الله أن نتعلم فاعلم أنه لا إله إلا الله
مرة ثانية
ينبغي عليكم يا أحبتي.
It is obligatory upon you, all my beloved brothers and sisters.
أن تستمروا في طلب العلم بعد هذه المؤتمرات.
That you continue to seek knowledge after these conferences.
لأن طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم.
Because seeking knowledge is an obligation of every Muslim.
ولأن الله يقول ولأن من يريد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين.
And because the Messenger of Allah said, He who Allah Ta'ala wishes for him good, He gives him understanding of deen.
ولأن الله سبحانه وتعالى قل فاعلم أنه لا إله إلا الله.
And because Allah Ta'ala said, know that there's no one worthy of worship but Allah.
ولأنكم إذا قصرتم في ذلك فسوف تنسون ما تعلمته في هذه المؤتمرات.
And if you do not fulfill this obligation that he's calling you to and giving you advice to, you'll forget all of this that you learned right here in this conference.
وجزاكم الله خيرا.
جزاك الله خير.
السلام عليكم.
السلام عليكم. The Sheikh has a conference call for a lecture on the telephone with some people in Toronto, so he has to depart. So unfortunately, we don't have time for...